Curious, as you get into this process with the Colts, what looks different to you defensively from them that maybe you didn't see on the 16th of November?
Well, you know, Jones is Arthur Jones is in there, and I think healthy. You know, they've incorporated Newsom, who I know made a big play yesterday on the edge. He played some in our first game, but they've incorporated him more in there. You know, Walden was injured coming into our game, and I think he's playing well. And now Landry's back, you know, in his spot alongside of Adams in the back end. And then, you know, other than that, I think they, like most teams, most good teams do as the season progresses, they just continue to get better. They've maintained consistency in terms of the things that they try to do. They've created, you know, negative plays and put people in some third and long situations, created some turnovers. They're very aggressive with not only pressuring, but also man-to-man coverage. They get up there and play tight, jam, and disrupt the passing game that way. And it's a physical group, so not surprising that we would be playing them again. I know we had some success in the first game, but this is a totally different week, a totally different game, and I'm sure it will be different on Sunday.
And Josh, just a quick follow-up. You know, in terms of you've been in the league now for 15 years or so, and I'm curious from a toughness standpoint, where would you put Brandon LaFell based on this year's experience coaching him?
I have great respect for JoJo's toughness and work ethic. I've mentioned that before, his attitude, the way he's embraced what we do here and his role in our offense. He's a great fit for us. He's brought an element of leadership, experience, toughness. He plays big in big games. And his overall professional approach to our locker room and our meeting room has only enhanced our room. And I think, you know, he's a great example for younger guys in terms of how to approach your job. And like I said, it's been great having him here, and I was excited he was able to make obviously a big play the other night at the end.
Josh, I was wondering the other night with the, I guess what people are calling the two-pass play, and then the four-man line. I was wondering if those were done as a way to kind of counterbalance the fact that you were one-dimensional in terms of not being able to run the ball, so it gave you an alternative, so to speak, some kind of balance-imbalance type of thing, if you understand what I'm asking.
No, not really. And I don't really, you know, we chose not to run the ball, you know, more than anything else. You know, it wasn't like we ran it 20 times and had 35 yards. You know, we kind of made that decision and went ahead and went with it. And then those things were just part of the game plan that hopefully at the right time or place, you know, we could use them and get some production out of them if they were called. And the guys did a great job of executing those in those situations. And thought that was really what the game came down to, was an execution game more than anything else. A lot of critical situations, a lot of crucial downs. The guys needed to perform and execute their job, and they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Just as a follow-up to that, Bill mentioned, I asked him about the four-man line, and he said he's seen it before in the NFL. Just wondering, from your perspective, I know you spent a lot of time around the high school scene and obviously in small colleges, and we've seen teams out here in Central Mass in high school run the four-man line. Have you seen that at some of the smaller levels of ball beforehand?
I've seen it a few different places, you know, where people try to do it differently. You know, and again, the situation that it comes up in may be different, but you know, you've seen linemen lined up different places. You've seen, you know, the center saddled by the two guards, and the tackles are removed way outside the numbers at times. I mean, there's a lot of different formations that teams have tried or people have used to try to get, you know, a play here or there out of those types of things. You know, and everything's part of the rules, and just try to, you know, if there's a way that maybe you can give yourself an opportunity to, you know, to get a positive play in a different situation, you know, it's worth doing it. But definitely been, you know, seen it before, and yeah, I'm sure it won't be the last time.
Just wanted to ask you about the double pass play there. Tom mentioned after the game that you guys kind of caught the Ravens in the perfect defense for that, in that they sent a blitz, a star blitz, I think is what he called it. How key, I guess, was that to allowing Julian enough time to throw back there? And if they hadn't run that play, would the double pass have, you know, been rendered ineffective from what you could tell? How did their defense kind of allow what you guys were able to accomplish at that point?
Well, it didn't hurt for sure. I mean, they blitzed the nickel off that side, or safety, if you will, however you want to call it, because I believe it was actually 24 who came. But he was lined up in what, you know, what you could call a nickel type of a position. Stewart was, you know, no, they just, you know, they, that wasn't certainly the, you know, we didn't have to have that defense, and didn't obviously know that it was coming, to, you know, to try it and to have success and to believe that we could do it. You know, it just so happened that they did it, which left them, you know, one less, cover player out there to either, you know, attempt to tackle Julian or put pressure on him before he threw, or to cover Danny. So, you know, Rob was out there and had an opportunity to protect Julian against somebody, but wouldn't have been able to do it against two somebodies. And so, you know, as it was, again, you know, the guys did a great job of executing the play. They deserve all that credit. And I thought, you know, Tom made a good throw to start it. You know, Nate did a good job of trying to get Suggs' hands down at the line of scrimmage. And then Julian, Danny, and Gronk executed, you know, the last part of it out there, you know, very well. And it was able to give us a big play in the game.
After the game, Julian and Danny both said that they've been working on that play all season long. I guess a two-part question is, do you have a series of those plays that you work on during practice that you look for particular situations to use them in a game? And second question is, once you use them, are they pretty much used up? You don't want to, since you show them on film and in a game situation, you really can't use them again?
I think you know, all coaches have. We've all seen, you know, trick plays or whatever you want to call them, gadgets. We have probably no longer list of those here than anybody else does. And I think you look for, I would say, the potential of a situation to present itself that may give you an opportunity to have success with one of them. I don't think there's a guarantee on any of them. And we've certainly called them before here, and, you know, maybe it wasn't a great defense, you know, to try it against, or the defense had a great call on at the same time and it happens not to work. But, you know, I think you just, like everything else you do on offense, you practice that play, you know, if it's a run, a pass, a screen, a gadget, a red zone play, enough to where you feel like your players have confidence in what they're being asked to do, to give them the best chance to go out and do it successfully. And then if you feel like that, it's just a matter of, you know, trying to match it up against a defense, a call, or a situation where you feel like you'll have an opportunity to get it to work. So, you know, like I said, I think we all have them. It's just a matter of when you call them, and if you can, you can get it executed. And the guys did a great job the other night. Once you call those things, you know, you, like I said, you have a longer list of them. It's just a matter of finding the right situation to use it in. And I'd say if any play could, you know, use something again in the same game, another week, whatever it may be, if it's the right time and you feel like it'll work, you know, then you may try it. If not, then, you know, obviously you'd like to do something else.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Josh, last time this year when you played Indy, you guys had a pretty good running game, over 200 yards. Same thing last year when you played them. What differences, if any, have you seen in their run defense since your most recent game that, you know, seems to make it stronger, if you've seen it at all, against the run?
I definitely, I mean, look, each team, you know, that's playing at this time of the year, I mean, is to me, they're getting better as the season goes on, and improving as a football team, and I see no different with this group on defense. You know, a lot of times it doesn't require a dramatic shift in philosophy or scheme or players to improve. Sometimes it takes consistency and, you know, staying with it and just working at it, and at times getting some people back healthy to really arrive at what you hope you could be. And there's no time, you know, like the end of the season in terms of trying to peak at the right time. And I think this group that we're getting ready to play has gotten better in all areas. I mean, they're certainly a team that ranks highly in more than a few categories in terms of the way they play. And like I said before, I would imagine that this group is playing the way they want to play. And we're going to have, you know, to play our best football game of the year against them on Sunday night.
Thank you.
Hey, Josh, I was just wondering, I wanted to ask you about Danny Amendola. Early in the year, he wasn't as involved in the offense as he has been lately, especially in the game the other night. And I'm just wondering, why now? And was there ever a point where you had to tell him, look, your time's going to come? I assume it was a little frustrating for him early on.
I think Danny's been ready all year. And, you know, he's had more opportunities in some games than others, but has always maintained a great work ethic and attitude. Comes to work and prepares hard each week. Really is ready to go for his role in the game, however big or small it may be. And our players know that we try to come in each week and put ourselves in the best position to have a chance to win. And sometimes that means some people playing more than others. Sometimes it means using different personnel groupings, you know, different weeks. You know, and I think everybody's been an unselfish part of that. And Danny's a great example of that, and I think a wonderful example of being ready when your number's called and then producing and coming through for the team in a pressure situation. So very happy for him the other night that he had the success that he did, but wasn't surprised by it because of the way he's approached every day since he's been here. Love having him here, and obviously, he's a big part of our success on offense.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stacy, and thanks, Josh. How are you?
Good, Bob. How you doing?
I'm okay, Josh. Thank you. Excited about this weekend. But, Coach, real quick, two quick things. Apropos of that first game, and the success of the running game. Is there a psychological thing that they know how well you guys ran against them in the first game? Does that play into it at all? And then the other question I wanted to ask, are they economical in the way they do blitz? Because Freeman had a key blitz against the Bengals, and as you said, Newsom yesterday. Is that something that they do off of their base defense? Or thank you.
Yep. I mean, as far as the first game goes, I honestly, you know, both teams have changed. Both teams have grown and improved. You know, they've gotten some players back. We've gotten some players back. I think we've tried to evolve as an offense. They've done it as a defense. I think this will be a totally different game.
Yep.
You know, whatever we had success with in the first game or didn't have success with, which there were plenty of those things too, you know, I'm sure, you know, we're both going to look at those things. They have a great coaching staff, have a ton of respect for them in the way they prepare and present the game plan each week, and they create a lot of issues, you know, as you're getting ready to deal with them. So,
is Jones coming back? Does that play into it at all? Jones
sure.
Returned it.
Yeah, sure. Landry, Jones. Yeah. Like I said, Newsom's right, playing more. I just think the whole group, you know, they're a great example of a team getting better over the course of the year. They got a great coaching staff that's done a great job of putting their players in the right positions. They're aggressive. They're playing with confidence. They're physical. They're fast. They blitz. They play man. They mix up their calls. You don't always know what you're going to get from them. So, you know, they're playing the way they want to play, I'm sure, at the end of the year at the right time. And we're going to have to, like I said, play our best game on Sunday. And that's what we're going to try to prepare for. And then relative to the pressures, I think they do a great job of doing both. They mix it up, base, sub, third down, red zone. That's not always a blitz situation, but there's plenty of it. No matter what, you're going to have to be ready for it. They really test your protection systems, your ability to adjust. You know, your backs are going to need to be an important part of the blitz pickup game. Your line's going to have to pass off stunts and identify some different looks each week. So, you know, this is from top to bottom. They test every area. Like I said, they're extremely well coached. You've got a ton of respect for these guys, and it'll be an incredible challenge on Sunday.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Stacey.
Last question, Mike Reese.
All right, it's a marathon call, so I'll keep it short here, Josh. What has Brian Stork brought the offense this season? What has he brought to the offense this season?
Youth. he's got a youthful approach to everything. When I say that, it's a compliment. Every day, you know, you see him walk in the building. Every day seems like it's a great day.
Yeah.
Got a smile on his face, excited to come to work. He's extremely tough. We knew that when we got him here. He hasn't let us down in that area at all. Works extremely hard at his craft. Wants to be good and cares about trying to do his role to help our offense be productive, and doesn't ever want to let anybody down. And really a pleasure to have here and coach. His demeanor, his work ethic, his toughness all fit in with that group and that room. I think he's got a lot of veteran players in there to learn from, and he's really tried to soak that in as much as he possibly could. And when he competed and improved, and when he got his opportunity, he really has made the most of it. So have a ton of respect for the way he's gone about his business as a young player, and he's been a big part of our success this year.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you, Mike.